look ahead towards Jalan Parliament. Taman Tugu should be on your left, and the blue and white police tower of Bukit Aman should be on your right. At the pedestrian pole with a yellow globe on top of it, a Belisha beacon, there is a fork in the path. Take the path to your left. Follow this path until you reach a small pedestrian tunnel underneath the old Kereta Api Tanah Melayu tracks. As the confines and boundaries of the garden melt away behind you, we step into the world. A traveler on foot in this country is considered a kind of wild man, an out-of-the-way being, stared at, pitied, suspected, and shunned by everybody that meets him. To walk is to become slightly out of place. By now, you should have reached another fork in the path. Take the one on the right. While researching to make this walk, I kept returning to the writings of Rebecca Solnit. In her book, Wanderlust, she writes about philosophers like Jean-Jacques Rousseau and Soren Kierkegaard, outcasts in their own time. They walk not to escape society, and not to belong to it either. As they walked, they were in the world, but not of it. A solitary walker is unsettled between places, drawn forward by desire and by the lack of it. Carrying the detachment of a traveler rather than the ties of a worker, a dweller, a member of a group. As you place one foot in front of the other, as you move from one landscape to another, I want to share a list with you. A list of observations from my own practice of walking. I walk in order to be alone with myself. I walk to be alone amongst other people. I walk at the pace of my thoughts. I walk to clarify my thoughts. I walk until my thoughts soften. I walk to get a sense of the day. I walk because my knees hurt when I run. I walk because it's the simplest thing to do. I walk to stop scrolling. I walk to find a rhythm. I walk because it helps. I walk to remember. as I walk towards it. Across the street to your left, on a football field, I can see teenagers practicing a dance routine. One falls, another catches her. From a distance, you can hear them shriek in laughter. In the 1870s, as the Industrial Revolution expanded across Europe and North America, an enormous demand for tin began to shape this region. And the rivers that run through the city were used to transport it. In 1867, a civil war broke out in Selangor between the Malay Rajas. In the wake of the Selangor Civil War, Yap Aloy from Hui Chiao, China, a tin miner, petty trader, who becomes Kapitan, rebuilds Kuala Lumpur. And then, a great fire. And on the 21st of December, 1882, a great flood. The city destroyed. Frank Swettenham was appointed Resident General to rebuild Kuala Lumpur from the ground up. He saw himself as a cultured man, a painter, a photographer, an ambitious man. Fluent in Malay, having passed his Malay studies exam in July 1872, Swettenham believed he understood this place. It was Swettenham who decided that all roads should be called Jalan. Imagine a courtroom lit by candlelight. Malay Rajas and chiefs feasting during the Muslim New Year, served an English dinner. They turn to Swettenham and say, "Oh, how we appreciate the Queen's administration." The pedestrian tunnel should be in your view right about now. Step into the small pedestrian tunnel beneath the old Kereta Api Tanah Melayu tracks and stand still for a moment. You can rest there